SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, it is Oaks Day, and thus far, dry enough. And some of the concerns about wet weather, there'll be some rain at different points between now and Derby tomorrow. But overall, it looks like we're dodging bullets on that front, and some of the more dire early week forecasts are dissipating. Hopefully, your ideas about today and tomorrow have come into focus, though, and I hope we're going to help you again today, finalizing plans, particularly for Saturday, and we'll touch a little bit on today, but I want to more or less hit the highlights from between Derby and the stakes card and a couple of other spots on Saturday's slate in terms of building multis. And we'll survey pretty much everybody on their Oaks pick today and any other highlights of the card. There's still waiting, actually, for final scratches. There was an early set of scratches last night, and a couple of horses of interest for today's card came out, and we'll see what else happens, and we're waiting for decision from Mark Cassie, who has been tortured. I explained last night the questions came up on the Stats Racelens seminar, and we had a lot of fun last night, almost 2 hours of discussion, and Lafitte Pinkai the third, as well as Dan Torschman and Craig Walker, and Full House taking in the ideas, and a lot of Q&As, and a lot of people wondering. I can tell you that Salty's running today. That we absolutely know, and we were still waiting for a decision on Awesome Slew. And I can tell you, because I've been in pretty regular contact with Cassie, he is and was. The decision's been made certainly by now. We don't have the late scratches and the 9 o'clock cutoff time today for Derby, and so we'll wait and hear if there's been anything at all that's happened. And we'll talk about this morning's session, which was very limited, and of course the training time truncated today for big race day and the early start, 10:30 a.m. first post both today and tomorrow, and things will start with that second level allowance today, where it looks like Samantha Siegel is going to start her Oaks Derby weekend off smashingly, at least on paper when it comes to go Google yourself. But the scratch time for Derby, 9 a.m. and right now. So if there was any chance that we were going to get Blended Citizen into the field, we'll know fairly shortly. And the reason there's even a hint at this is because of a couple of interesting elements yesterday. The fact that my boy Jack did not come out and really did very little the day before had some people whispering, and then instilled regard with, as we mentioned yesterday, with a bit of a struggle. So there was a bit of a watch there for any potential issues, but we'll make a final determination, I would think, within a half an hour or so. Usually that word spreads quickly because, of course, people are going to start to make their Derby multi-day wagers tied in with the Oaks and with the Turf Classic, of course, the Pick 3. We'll mention that from this morning, the most interesting thing that happened was Bolt Doro. And Bolt Doro, who has eased into his morning exercise, typically comes around kind of quietly first pass and then has gotten into his works a little bit more aggressively and smoothly. And today was, I'm not going to say a runoff, but got the very spirited Jay Privman, who's going to join us exactly at 10:30. Jay will detail that. He and Mike and Dave Grenig and the team in for the 5:45 session. The training session for Derby Oaks runners shifted early with the entire morning exercise period moved up and shortened. So we'll get any of that information from Jay when he joins us for his final thoughts. Otherwise, set for this big weekend, and you get to this point, and now it's all about just putting tickets together. The final lineup to share their thoughts this morning as asked, and the inquiries coming from all over about a visit from Satish. Of course, Satish Sinan will join us. Satish, after the first break this morning, right at 9:15, and Satish, typically an Oaks play, a Derby play, Oaks Derby double, and he also likes to play the Oaks Turf Classic Derby Pick 3. So we'll get those opinions from Satish, and I'll certainly bring up with him the constant discussion about the unraced at two scenario, because Satish, part of the ownership of the horse most recently associated with that challenge, and of course we're talking about Curlin and coming to Derby and finishing a very good third with some asterisk, you know, with some trouble. It was an adventurous trip for Curlin and Robbie Alvarado in the Derby, and then 2 weeks later turned around and beats Street Sense in the Preakness, that big hole where they came around the turn and Curlin darted inside, got on the underside of Street Sense and draws off to win, and then that set up the absolutely wonderful matchup and historic result with Rags to Riches, a filly in the Belmont, as Tom Durkin famously termed, as she beat Curlin. Just as good a Triple Crown with three winners as there's ever been. Ever. Street Sense and Curlin and Rags to Riches. So we'll talk to Satish, let him riff on that, and also the pleasure of watching Sons of Curlin, and of course daughters too, but Sons of Curlin achieving absolute the highest levels of success in the game, and a pleasure for us always to bring Satish back to you. Nick Tamaro will be here at the bottom of the hour. Nick was tied in with Travis yesterday, and they got hung up, so we'll get Nick's quick glance at Friday and then more into Saturday and Derby. Jonathan Kinchin on his way. He's staying in Lexington, so JK won't be here, but he'll be on the phone with Nick sitting here with me. DeRosa and Scully, Ed DeRosa and James Scully in the Kentucky Derby Report, and we'll get them here next to us and let them ping-pong opinions back and forth. Obviously have tracked the road here to the Derby with the two of them. Jay Privman, I mentioned, to start off the second half. We'll catch a number of opinions by phone that some that we missed yesterday and expected, like Tom Quigley and Darren Rogers yesterday. Darren and Davis, his son. And, of course, Davis has been very good. Davis, I think, is 3-for-4 with Derby winners with his pick. Derby Media, Darren Rogers and his son Davis, they'll visit as well. Rich Migliori, and of course part of the XBTV coverage, they'll have the stakes features later this afternoon on XBTV, and so watch for the coverage with Jeff and Aaron and Millie and Zoe and Rich, and we'll talk to Rich, get his final thoughts. Hammer and Jimmy Ventura will join us as well. And Jimmy in New York, Hammer in his office at Santa Anita. Jeremy Plonk will be through. We want to get Jeremy's countdown to the crown synopsis and final thoughts. Duke Matisse, Dukey will be here, and we'll have Duke sit in and talk to him. Plus, we might get a couple of other satellite opinions from some prominent clockers whose opinions we respect. And a couple of things to house cleaning before we go to the break, because I want to get to Satish exactly at the 15 mark and to keep this going to work hard to keep this thing on the tracks heading through these 3 hours. Yesterday, of course, the Thursday Thurby festivities, and they had just a mammoth crowd. I left after, I don't know, maybe three races and wanted to work and get the selections up, and I put the got them up late last night, not that late actually, after the Stats Raceland seminar. Got them up about, I guess, about 9 o'clock, and then filled in the blanks with the multi-race ideas. But the fans were pouring in here, and they ended up with close to 50,000, which is amazing. The Oaks used to draw 50,000. Honestly, when I first started coming here, now it's 20 years, but going on 20, 1999, they used to draw 50 for the Oaks. Now they're drawing that on Thursday, and there'll be 120 here today. Unbelievable. Some good action yesterday, including a big upset in the two-year-old race. And congratulations to John Innes that, I mean, I don't want to say put over, but Wyland. Holy cow. And I kind of don't understand why there wasn't an inquiry, at least. Wyland banging into my hot rod Lincoln. And, of course, this race, the Kentucky Juvenile, was shook up by the scratch late of Shanghai Drew, who would have been the co-favorite. The Brett Calhoun opening day at Keeneland winner. And that kind of changed things around a little bit. But you had a $41 winner. And Enos was obviously very pleased to win on this stage. And this was a Fasig October purchase for $7,000. Yes, it's true. Out of a more than ready filly. Unbelievable. Well done. You also had Ian Wilkes for Rusty Jones, the Artie Schiller gelding Mr. Cub, who took money and ended up going off favored. And here again, you had Mr. Misunderstood end up scratching, and that changed the complexion of the opening verse. And son-in-law Chris Landeros for Ian. Had some fun over there for a nice barbecue. And thank Ian and Tracy. The late action, the late pick four with that big priced winner, $5,500 pick four because of the upset of the juvenile race. So wanted to slip that in. So the preliminary rounds, the undercards for the big cards are over, and it is Oaks Day. They're running in New York today, too, the flat out, and at some point we've got to slip in the weekend elsewhere, too, because the Sheepshead Bay and the Westchester prepping for the Met tomorrow. The Fort Marcy came up good. Nice card tomorrow, too, at Belmont. Don't want to forget all the other action. Santa Anita, too, the Senorita. The jumpers are at Great Meadow. But our focus is right here. Opening day at Arlington, too. Don't want to forget Arlington. And I told you, Monmouth opens tomorrow as well. So there's more racing than just what's going on here in Louisville. Satish Sinan joins us next as we kick off Oak State coverage.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi. Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
He's got a long way to go to come and get Army Mule, who's pulling away by five.
2 years ago, Pennsylvania bred Army Mule was purchased at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale at Timonium. Now he's a grade one winner.
Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
There'll be more than 30 Pennsylvania breds at the Fasig Tipton 2-year-olds in training sale, May 21st and 22nd at Timonium, Maryland. Breeding and racing in Pennsylvania, it's a winner.
Have you heard? Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews serves the best roast beef sandwich you have ever tasted. Everything is made to order with the highest quality and freshest ingredients. Only our custard is frozen. Show us your horse on a t-shirt, hat, or ride your stick pony and celebrate Oaks and Derby with us. The first 144 guests each day that show us their horse will receive a free horse and hole roast beef sandwich, only one per customer. So come visit us and taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a 2-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Forum's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Turn the switch on the Derby selections, and we're going to turn on to Satish Sanan, who visits us now at least once a year, and always for Derby, and missed so much during the course of the year. Everybody asks for him, and of course he's going to join in and give us some thoughts. Satish, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you? Can you hear me okay? I'm having a hard time hearing you a little bit. But
oh, you're good. You're very good. Clear as bell.
Okay. You are faint, but go ahead.
Well, let me throw a couple of quick things at you before some analysis. Curlin has been the talk, really, of the lead-up, Satish, because of the unraced 2-year-old scenario with Magnum Moon and with Justify. And I'd love for you to remind everybody about the Triple Crown season and the lead-in with Curlin and what it was like being in this position that year.
Well, that was, as you know, one of our best years, both in terms of amount of fun we had, because racing is all about fun. Not too many people make money on this. Very few. Coolmores are the only world expert at making money and winning races. But the rest of us, we do it because we enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. It's gets into your system, and you can't live without it. You know, you get addicted to this sport. It's such a great sport. And so that 2005, from my perspective and from Pedro's perspective, because by that time we had invested well over $100 million into the game, was one of our most successful from every measure, every criterion you want to look at it, from us having so much fun. We went to every racetrack that you can name, from Gulfstream to Fairgrounds to Oakland to Tampa Bay. We won a lot of races that year because I had not only ownership, if you recall, in Curlin, but also in any given Saturday. And we were, I think, third and fifth in the Derby and Preakness, and we ended up beating each other in the Haskell. I believe that any given Saturday beat Curlin and so on. So from a family point of view, you know, the whole family travels, it was a lot of fun. Financially, we ended up actually doing both deals. We sold any given Saturday to Sheikh Mohammed for a significant amount of money because Winstar, who were great partners. And we did the same thing. I got out right after that year with Jess Jackson. So it was a great financial success. That was probably the most profitable year ever. It was a great success in terms of going there and having a lot of fun. And it was one of the best years from a racing perspective. I mean, that horse was just phenomenal. I remember watching him. I was in Miami when he won by 13 lengths, and you know the story. I was next day in London and then in India and called my son. And there's a long story. We won't waste your time, how we ended up buying it and how the partnership started. But it was one of the best years. And you know that.
Well, his name has been invoked, obviously, on a regular basis. And then, you know, the fact that he's got a leading contender in here, when we think about Good Magic in particular, he has become such a, and Vino Rosso, and with Hill and Dale and John Secura, who you've got such a great long-standing relationship, and it's always special when we get a chance to talk at a time like this and those particular moments. Satish, let's look ahead to today and tomorrow, and some thoughts about the Oaks, the Turf Classic, and the Derby.
I think Oaks is. You know, I'm not as good as I used to be, but I've always said that going back to the racing is like riding a bike. You know, you look at the racing form and you look at the races and you know most of the horses. To me, it's a two-horse race, and I just can't see. I've looked at it and looked at it and looked at it, and I just can't see, you know, the outside horse getting beat and or the filly, and I think if she gets beat, she's going to be the midnight pursuit. I think now the long shot, or somewhat of a long shot, could be the Take Charge Paula. I think it's a chalk, unfortunately, but we are always surprised, as you know, with long shots. But I would be real hard pressed to go beyond 10 and 14, and that's what I come down to.
No, and that's much like people are distilling Justify and Mendelssohn, the top choices in the Derby, the Monomoy Girl, Midnight Bizou equation is somewhat similar. I can't. You know, can't argue that. So the 10 and the 14.
I think, you know, she has, obviously, she's run on Churchill. She's won, you know, races there. She has a, you know, two for two, first and second at Churchill. She's last race was a runway win in the Ashland, and very well timed. She's got enough time to be ready on the day. I hope the weather stays sound. And, you know, the fact that she ran a decent race, the second race on the turf, and you look at Tapizar and Tapiz, and, you know, they, even if it rains a little bit, you know, they love the mud. So I think she's going to be awfully tough to beat. But she gets beat, I think it'll be Bill Spahr and Mike Smith, you know. That's what I think.
I like it. Let's go to Saturday. And the Turf Classic, and I'll be honest, I've had trouble with the Turf Classic, and I wanted to boil it down and be as narrow as possible for wider coverage in Derby when it comes to the multis. But I struggled with the with this group.
I don't think you're the only one. It's
yeah.
It's the toughest race to handicap. It's always is because you've got, Aidan O'Brien and Coolmore, when they make up their mind, they come and generally they raid the Breeders' Cup and they bring a lot of horses and they go back with a lot of loot and a lot of winners and so on. And, you know, the Dovale is a horse that, you know, hasn't run well, in my opinion, in the last two, three races. But good enough that runs back to the previous form could do it. I think the three horse from Chile, the, you know, Chad's got two very tough horses. But the last race at Gulfstream was a good race. It was a comeback race, you know, after 3-4 months. And I think could be primed. And he always pulls an upset. But that's not who I'm betting. I'm betting the again. Beach Patrol is a horse to beat. I just can't. So if I was betting that, there is only two horses that I'd really like. But I'm going to pick three to go in the multi-race wager here. So Beach Patrol with Sinkning and Channel Maker. Those are my three picks. A couple of other horses could surprise us. You know, Deer Left could surprise us. The Whale could surprise us. But my choice is those three horses.
So the 5, the 7, and the 10. 5, 7, 10 as part of the pick three. And let's turn to the Derby, Satish.
Yeah, no, my pick is 5, 7, 10, and I said the long shot could be one or two more. But the Derby, you know, this is, I don't know what you and your, I mean, I don't talk to a lot of people, but I think it's perhaps the most well-balanced Derby, in the sense that I think the weather is going to stay good. It's not going to be mud bath and things that generally happen when it rains there. Number two, I think the post-position draw, most horses, not all, most horses drew good post positions that they can't get into too much trouble. You have 3 to 4 very strong candidates. That'd be, if they run their race on the day, going to be awfully, awfully hard to beat. So I think the winner and the second is going to come out of 2-3 horses. Now, when you do multi, complex wages, pick threes and pick fours and super factors and all of that, you got to have more than that. But to me, almost looks like that Bob Baffert is kind of sitting on a race. And I have to tell you that I may not bet that horse. I'll bet Mendelssohn. I think Aidan O'Brien's horse is primed for it. I think he ran a good race. It was a huge race at in Dubai, in Medan. But his previous race prior to that at Dunkirk was a pretty damn good race as well. And, you know, he's a scat daddy. I mean, he's demonstrated, he gets his feet out of the Johannesburg, bred very well. Obviously, he's proved that the mile and 3/16 there wasn't any difficulty for him. I think he breaks and he gets in the front. Everybody's going to be looking at his behind all the way. That's just my feeling. So, and I think he's not going to be a huge value, but he's not going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if Justify goes even money or 6-4. You know, not a lot of value, not a lot of value. So I'm focused on three horses. I'm focused on Mendelssohn. I'm focused on Justify, and I'm focused on the Chad's horse might surprise us. But I think out of all the Todd's horses, Todd Mitt, I haven't spoken to him, I might give him a call, but I think Magnum Moon is a horse, in my opinion, just based on the Oaklawn race. I think it was a huge race, didn't get out very well, but once he took the lead, then, I mean, he just rebroke at the top of the stretch if I watched that race. If Baffert's going to get beat, he's going to get beat by one of those two horses. That's just my feeling.
So for the purposes...
Very tough to beat.
Well, I agreed. I mean, and like we talked about the fillies with Monomoy and Bizou, it does feel as we get closer, and we'll talk obviously with everybody, the panel today, but Mendelsohn and Justify are getting the vast majority of the discussion, and then there's some camps that, whether it's the Todds or Chad, is there a price horse, Satish, that you notice that you think people want to have on the bottom of their tries and supers?
Horse, I mean, price horse, good magic. If he runs the way, then you know. Remember the race of the Breeders' Cup that day. Around that, when he ran in the juvenile race, it was a huge race. And coming off that race, runs like that and breaks, and you know, is close enough because he's not going to be in the lead and rate 3, 4, 5 and is clear, could easily win. So it's 12-1 a price, probably. I'm not really sure. But if I was going to bet, you know, right below those three that we talked about, I mean, we talked about 7, 14, 16 is my pick.
Yes.
But right underneath, I would say Audible could be there. I'd say good Magic could be there. I think the long shot could be Billy March Horse there.
Yep.
Hoffberg. Yep. You know, pretty damn good races.
It is.
Broken the ones and the twos out there, but I think could be primed, could be ready, has been working pretty damn good. And I think, you know, the Somos horse, my boy Jack, shouldn't be 30-1. Not 30-1. I think if the front horses out there are shortening their stride, this guy would be closing. That long stretch is Churchill. You can see this horse and Kent coming on the outside and getting them, you know. So those are the 3-4 horses. I mean, it's such a
perfect
tough field, you know.
It is.
What do you think?
No, I echo a lot. I'm lean. My lean is Justify, but you've hit virtually all the major players. I'm a little against Magnum Moon. I got my concerns, but otherwise,
tell me why you against him?
He feels, and certainly, you know, when you had horses with Todd, he just feels like a horse where the wheels could come off at any time. That getting out in the stretch, he also displayed it. Even in the workout last week here, he wanted to get out.
I haven't been watching the workout.
But he's not. You know, he shouldn't be. He shouldn't just be dismissed out of hand. But you're right on with Billy Mott, with Hoffberg and Good Magic. My boy Jack is gonna close late, and you've hit all the right marks.
I've already, because I'm so damn busy and people are waiting, I've already put my bet in for the pick three.
Nice.
So at
all
the,
right.
The 10-14, 5-7, 10-7, 14-16. I've already made my pick four. I've bet the Superfecta.
Atta boy.
So tomorrow I'll be betting with both hands as I used to. So we'll see what happens. But I think it's one of the most exciting derbies in a long time. I think
very much. And the only
strong,
thing that
very well balanced actually reminds me of the 2005 when yep. Turnin was there and Any Given Saturday was there, and you know, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth horses, they were all less than kind of 10-1, and this is the kind of race. Bob Baffert must be thinking that he's already won it, the way his horses went with Mike Smith and the way they won the last race. And so we'll see.
Well, Satish, give everybody a quick update on Inspirata and the progress on the startup business.
Well, you know, the people don't really know why I got involved, and you know, I got out of the horse business because of all the crap that is still going on and goes on, and I'm just tired of it. And you know, I do things in life, and I'm good at building companies, and for many personal reasons, this is a company that is focused on cancer and cancer diagnostics, and I wanted to do something that will do good and we will do well as a company. So we are building some informatics and solutions, obviously software based and database and so on. That this would be, Steve, you know, I've done so many things in my life, this would be the biggest thing that I would do. And the company is doing extremely well. We started four and a half years ago. And I've got offices now in Tampa, in Pittsburgh, in Toronto, in London, and a few more in Europe soon. We've got it to three small acquisitions. But save your few dollars. Don't lose them all on this derby. when we take this fucking company public, maybe you and Tina can buy a little bit of stock.
You got it.
Okay.
Satish, we miss you so much.
Thanks for asking. You know, I was on 21 boards when I started here, including all that stupid thoroughbred industry and others and companies boards, and I had a private equity firm and horses and farms, and you know, with I've got rid of everything. This is the only thing I do, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm enjoying it. You know, my mind is sharper than it's ever been before. This is business that I didn't know. I knew technology, but I didn't know healthcare. I didn't know what cancer diagnostics and what cancer was all about. And so this is a lot of fun, and people are going to be talking about it when we finish with it.
Well, always thinking about you. People constantly ask me how you are, and look forward to seeing you soon. And best of luck today, tomorrow, Satish Sanand, as always.
And to you and to Tina, you guys have a great Derby weekend, and all the fans that you have. You've been in this business a long time. You've been doing this for donkey's years, and you know, if the sustainability of this wouldn't have happened if people don't enjoy it, and so on. So keep up the good work you're doing, and everybody, good luck. I hope they all make a ton of money.
They'll enjoy it. Love it. Satish Sanand, everybody, and one of the great men who lent his expertise and his interest and his passions to the game for several decades and left a big mark, including, as we just mentioned, Curlin and, you know, Exchange Rate, who just recently, the last remaining horses are going through the ring this year. And it's always such a treat to think about the you know, all his, as much as he wanted a Derby, and Nick Tamaro joining us here as well. Nick, you know, you've heard Satish over the years when he was really teaching the audience, the listeners, particularly people that were fairly new to the game, really the intricacies, and it was invaluable because he was willing to talk about things most people weren't.
Yeah, definitely, and he gave insight, as you're alluding to, that you wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. So, you know, the fan gambler owner combination doesn't exist terribly much, but it did with somebody like him. So, it was good to see. It was always refreshing. It's a shame that he's out of the game. And in fact, we were watching old replays last night, and Travis, you know, getting some thoughts together on what he's going to say over the next couple of days, and we found our way into some of Fleet Alex replays, and of course, the Proud Accolade played into those pretty well, which was one of Satish's horses from back in that particular year. So he had a big mark on the game, and good to hear him at least still firing away at the windows, because that would be the real tragedy, is if he wasn't even in the pools anymore.
Well, he's not as much.
Yeah,
big days. He'll play Breeders' Cup, and right, he'll play Triple Crown, and he obviously, the lasting impact is notable by how many people wrote to me this week, emails and Twitter, etc. Are we going to hear from Satish? Absolutely. And for those that didn't get the numbers down, 10-14 in the Oaks, 5-7-10 in the Turf Classic, 7-14-16 in Derby. So 2 by 3 by 3, simple $18 pick 3 for the Oaks Turf Derby Troika. Let's get a couple of pieces of news in here. Jonathan Kinchin is joining us on the phone as well. He's on his way here from Lexington, and Nick is by my side. I want to get a couple of pieces of scratch news. I mentioned the early scratches, and it wasn't particularly important, but we do have a decision now from from indecisive Mark Cassie. He will run tomorrow in the Awesome Slough. Will run tomorrow in the Churchill Downs, and it feels like the right decision.
Yeah, awesome slew tomorrow. Salty today.
Yeah, Salty we knew. Yeah, Salty we'd already given.
Yeah, awesome slew. You know, I kind of thought it was 6-1, half a dozen of the other. I thought an argument could be made that he could, that he maybe had a little bit better chance of winning today just because there's not a horse of the talent level of one like Imperial Hint running today. But I ultimately have always felt like Awesome Slew is a one-turn horse. And I think the one thing you can be certain of with both the shipper from Turf Paradise being in there and Imperial Hint is that there will be plenty of pace. So it's a good spot for Awesome Slew tomorrow.
And I think that, you know, of course, last time he had to chase home Army Mule. And I think Cassie was concerned that he was going to be in the same scenario tomorrow. However, there is a little bit of pace that could keep Imperial Hint company. So
yeah, definitely. Awesome Slew is also a horse that's run into some pretty damn good horses
over and over.
So it's been a little unfortunate in that respect. But I think there's a big race with his name on it out there somewhere.
There's a big scratch. As much as we were waiting for the decisions on Rushing Fall, and that became obvious when she drew the 12 for the American Turf, we were waiting for the other decisions. The scratch of Ivy Bell out of the La Troyenne is too bad because, for instance, Paul Matisse was on her. I thought she was a major play in here as well in the La Troyenne. So she comes out, take the four out of the La Troyenne, the sixth today. You've got some other sundry scratches. Hate losing. I was going to use that Dale Roman's Jan 1 in the nightcap. Now it looks like Rizzoli should be, what, 3-5?
Yeah, pretty heavy favorite there, no doubt.
And you also can scratch Agent Provocateur. And so you lingerie fans have to look elsewhere. And those are pretty much the major numbers. How about in the 10th? Who came out of the 10th?
Heavenly Love.
Heavenly Love, yeah. Cassie, not a significant scratch there. So there you go. There's the majority. Flash Away, Cassie came out of the turf sprint as well. All right, let's set the stage. Jonathan Kinching, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. I'm excited. This is always like Christmas morning. I always get really excited when it comes to Oaks and Derby. And the best part about Oaks is you get to do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, very true. It's a two-day Christmas in this case. And let's do a couple of quick hits on Friday. I want to concentrate more on Saturday for the people that will be listening later tonight and you know, don't get a chance to listen live. But because we didn't do this yesterday, how about we hit the Oaks and work backwards quickly? Jonathan, what are you doing in the Philly feature?
Yeah, I'm going to try to get alive here. I'll narrow down to a pick. I guess if I had to pick someone, I'm going to pick Midnight Bisou. But for the picks and stuff, I'm going to try to play both scenarios. And when I say both scenarios, I mean both pace scenarios. I'm going to use Midnight Bisou as the best closer. I'm going to use Eskimo Kisses as the closer with value. I'm going to use Monomoy Girl as the forwardly placed type, the best one. And then I'm going to use Classy Act as the pace type that's going to present some value. I'm going to try to get alive to those. I know Classy Act has kind of gotten beat at shorter distances, but I'm hoping that she'll be able to relax a little bit more. The blinkers are off. She was game in both of those her last two races, setting really fast fractions. You look at the last one, she wasn't beat by much. So I think she could be interesting if they take back with Monomoy Girl and she ends up being loose on the lead. She's one that could hold on for a piece, potentially even get brave.
Nick.
Yeah, you know, we obviously didn't know what kind of weather situation we were going to be in here, and I think a lot of people like me felt like if it was rainy, then Eskimo Kisses was a horse we'd move up quite a bit, given the races she had run on the wet track, a couple starts back at Oaklawn. I don't have really a huge read on anybody outside of the main players. I'm going to use Midnight Bisou, My Miss Lily, Eskimo Kisses, and Monomoy Girl. I could see having Classy Act as a backup, given that she's kind of the main speed. I really have more negative opinions on the balance of the field than really positive opinions on anybody else. I still feel like Monomoy Girl is the best horse in the race, but the post is difficult. The trip she's going to get from out there is a little bit questionable, but I will say that Florent Giroux really is at his best, in my opinion, when he's on a speed type that he can set up outside. So if she's ridden out of the gate a little bit and can get forward and probably be in that first flight, maybe behind Classy Act and take charge Paula, I don't think the trip will end up beating her. So I kind of expect it to be a pretty formful type of race, with my only price types being my Miss Lily and Eskimo Kisses.
We'll stay with you. Let's go to the Edgewood, and it does, to me, it feels like if you're going to beat Rushing Fall, today's the day, and there's three glaring candidates.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think of all the people that were really glowing about Rushing Falls comeback race, I actually thought it was good. I thought it was sort of routine, and it didn't really show any, and maybe because she wasn't terribly asked for it, didn't really show any appreciable move forward from her two-year-old form. Anybody who's a trip handicapper of any type is betting Daddy is a Legend in this race, because the trip last time was just horrific. Out of the gate poorly, big middle move to reach contention while wide on a turf course that really favored inside types almost from start to finish throughout the Keeneland meet. And the other horse that I'm going to use is Toinette, who might be a little bit overlooked in the wagering here, and give Toinette the trip that her stablemate La Sardin had in the last race yesterday and see if that won't work out perfectly. This is a turf course where when the rail comes down, you want to be a little bit forwardly placed, especially given the way the winter extended a little bit. So those are the main two I'm going to use. I'm going to try and play doubles into them or out of that race into the Kentucky Oaks, and then maybe play Rushing Fall over them a little bit too. But those are my main two.
Jonathan.
Yeah, no, I'm in the same way, same place Nick is, and I'm playing in the Kentucky Derby betting challenge, and my goal is to not do anything until this race, and I'm going to play doubles with those two, Daddy's a Legend and Rushing Fall, into the horses I mentioned in the Oaks. Hopefully, we'll have to obviously see what the will pays are there, but that's my plan. I do fear Toinette, but the same reason that I like Daddy is a Legend at the inside of the turf course was such a great place to be throughout the Keeneland meet. She was down there and she had a great trip down there. So I'm going to try to beat her conversely off of a good trip when I'm going to definitely be betting Daddy's a Legend off of what was a terrible trip that Nick described.
Well, and I picked Toinette, and anybody that was here for the turf work the other morning is betting Toinette because it was eye-popping. And in addition to Toinette and Daddy is a Legend, I got to be a little concerned that Altea doesn't get a favorable journey.
Yeah, I think she's going to get a good trip, and she's probably one of those that needed her last.
Right.
So I think you could see that second time Euro move forward, and what more does she really need to do in order to contend?
A quick note here, the pick four does include the pick four that ends with the Kentucky Oaks. There is another late pick four that has got races 12 and 13, but race 9 is a first level allowance, and people were squawking right away that it wasn't at all stakes pick four. Well, except that with the presence of Electric Forest, you may be able to single if you've got a small budget. Is she singleable?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I would view it, and this has to do, a lot of people have been wondering why, this has to do with the fact that NBC Sports goes off the air for a couple of hours, as I'm sure you've said. But
I haven't, actually, but
well,
yeah.
There's a soccer game on in the middle of the day that they're showing, so there's actually not going to be
can't
a
miss
race.
That.
No, can't miss Manchester United and some Harlem Globetrotter-type team that they're playing in England right now. So
the Washington Generals,
yeah, exactly.
Of
God
the
forbid
pitch.
We missed that, right? Might as well be Rodney Dangerfield's team from Ladybugs that they're playing. So, no, I think Electric Forest will be super tough to beat. I do respect Divine Mischief in there a little bit, and I also have to use Enrage just a tad, given the trip that that she had last time. But, yeah, anybody who's making a bigger multi-race play is probably going to center a lot of their action through Electric Forest. So take the maybe the lifeline that the racing office gave you and use it to your advantage.
That was my point. Jonathan, you in the same camp?
Yeah, same camp. I'm going to use Enrage as well, but I'm also going to use the four horse
Upset Brewing.
So I'm no pun intended there, but I'm going to use the four Upset Brewing. I'm going to try to just use those three horses and get out of that spot alive.
I'll mention you said Sworn Silence, right?
I did not.
You did not? Well, I'd be very careful about Sworn Silence. For those of you that aren't going to single, the 10 Sworn Silence for Brad Cox. And I was at Oaklawn for CP Quality, who was put over by KG Donnie Vaughn.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. The whole building was like, how did we miss this at 6-1? So CP Quality comes back out of that maiden win. That's the 9th race. A quick note on the Ali Sheba, which starts the pick four.
Yeah, Awesome Salute coming out. Well, he was actually a horse I was relatively interested in. I still am mainly focusing on Backyard Heaven. I think that this is a one of those clever spots that you saw. Maybe Bobby Frankel employ these kind of tactics over the years, and Chad doing that now, being aggressive with a horse that looks like he's got a great deal of ability and really just needs an opportunity to put it all together. So I think he rates to get a really good trip, being the spy, so to speak, for Always Dreaming and probably grabbing the baton if Always Dreaming passes it along. I'm not going to really advocate betting Always Dreaming, but it's tough to deny that he's really in a favorable position pace-wise here. So we'll see if that plays out and what difference it makes in the long run. But I the horse I'm most interested in betting is Backyard Heaven.
Jonathan?
Yeah, same for me. I wish there was just like a 30-to-1 shot, some kind of stretch-out horse in here so that I could completely toss Always Dreaming. But he's going to be dead loose, get a perfect trip. He didn't run that bad last time. For all accounts, he worked well here over the surface last time. Obviously, he won the Derby over the surface. This is probably the most annoying race of the day to me because I don't want to use him, but I really don't have any choice on pace dynamics and pace, you know, pace, just regular pace handicapping. There's really nothing you can do about it, so you got to use him. I'm going to use him. I'm going to use Chad. And then I thought Hawakum with some of his races last year, if he can kind of find that form, he could be dangerous at a price.
He's got, you know, the 70-footer at the buzzer look to him.
Yeah.
And he's had races, but I only could use him as a C. I got to ask a quiz question. Abel Tasman, win or lose?
Win.
Ooh, interesting. Jonathan.
Yeah. I don't usually do this, but it's fun sometimes. I count the work. She's at 13, I think. That's pretty strong. And all of them were good to all accounts. So I think she'll be ready to rock and roll. I think Michael put her in the race, and she's just better than me.
I'm against. I picked her third, and I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
I'm a little wavery. I'm going to certainly use and everything, but I think today's the day you want to. I think you want to protect a little bit. That's my proviso. Let me also ask you who wins the Eight Bells, Nick.
I'm a Mia Mischief guy.
Yeah, so
I was really, really taken by her last race at Oakland. I know Jonathan's got a big opinion in here, so he might be one to talk to a little bit more. But
Jonathan has a big opinion?
In the Eight Bells.
Jonathan?
Yeah, no, I love Talk Voob to me here. I think Mia Mischief is obviously, she's a likely winner from the inside, and she could be loose. But I think Talk Voob for me's race last time was really good. I know the barn is high on the horse, and I think she'll run well. She should get a great trip right in behind. I don't know what they're going to do with Amy's Challenge. I guess that's the biggest question. Are they going to try to raid her, which I think would be a big mistake, or are they going to send her? So either way, I think Talk Voob for me sits a perfect trip and gets the job done here.
Very good. Let's move to Saturday, and we'll start with Derby because I don't want to get time pressed and then have to compact it. So we'll do the same thing. We'll start with Derby and work our way back. Jonathan, you're 2018 Rose Run approach.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that woke up Sunday morning in 2015 and said, "Wow, 5-2 was like free money on American Pharoah," and a lot of people kept saying, "I can't take 5-2 on that horse in a 20 horse field," and blah 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 blah. I think Justify's that good. I think he'll prove it tomorrow, and I think Sunday morning I'll wake up thinking that 3-1 was a gift.
How about that? And Tam,
that's bold. That's Stephen A. Smith caliber almost, except it's accurate. That's the difference. No, I agree.
You're hitting on all cylinders.
Trying,
a big day for you.
This is look. I mean, like I said this on the podcast.
He'll be here all week, folks.
Right? Like Uncle Junior told Tony that day. He said, "You come in heavy or not at all." So I agree with about Justify. I am not going to go out of my way to make a case against him. And you know, I try to make a case against every favorite if it's there. But I think talent wise, he's on a little bit different level than a lot of these horses. The horse that I'm most thrown about in the whole field is Mendelsohn.
Yep. You
know, I don't really know what to do. And you wonder
Same
about
way.
A horse that ran in Dubai 35 days ago, shipped home, shipped over, quarantined for 2 days, and has taken a grand total of 2 laps around the track walking and 2 laps around the track galloping. So I'm not much for the physiology part of it, but I can't take a horse that it feels like had an easy lead on a good rail at Maidan. So he's a horse that I'll be using really just on the bottom rungs of my intra-race exotics, and he'll probably be just a C for me in any kind of multis. He'll be the kind of horse that I have if I'm right everywhere else. So the main focus for me are going to be Justify, Good Magic, and outside of those two, probably a horse like Boldoro to an extent, but it feels like all you're getting is bad news on Boldoro lately. And I'll use Audible, who I think is one of the kind of interesting types. I know that there's a knock on him in terms of having good setups in the past, but I think he's going to get a pretty good setup here, and I don't have really any interest in the other Todd Pletcher horses. Although I will say, I'm going to use Noble Indy a little bit where I can, because I think he's one of those horses who could outrun his odds. He may not be able to run better than third or fourth, but I could see him in the Tryon Super.
That horse for me is Solimini.
Yeah,
as it happens,
yeah.
Same kind
he's
of
a great sheet pattern. So immediately,
well, and he's got the 24 3/4, and
yeah.
He's just going to chunk along, and he's a completely forgotten horse. Jonathan, for you, who are the exotic candidates, and who's the bomber that you're going to throw a few bobs at?
I either had Paul on or you're having Paul on later, so I won't spoil his idea with Loin.
No, I had Paul already. I had Paul the other day. I got Dookie today.
About Lone Sailor. Yeah. So I'm sure he talked about Lone Sailor, so I'll save that. I keep on finding myself looking at my boy Jack, because I have a feeling he's not going to be ridden to win. And if he's not ridden to win, he's that type that can run fourth or third. If they try to win the race, he'll run out. But if they take him back, make one run, I think he could pick up pieces at what'll be a big price. And that's kind of a tricky way to look at it. But I think he's an interesting one to use underneath.
Very good. All right. I need help from you. I told Satish, I don't know if Nick was here yet, I really struggled with the old Forster, with the Turf Classic. I kind of looked at it cross-eyed.
Yeah, to me, there's two ways to look at this race. There's one thing that's certain, is if the beach patrol that was present at Belmont for the Joe Hirsch and Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup shows up, there's no way he's going to lose this race. So that's an if. What are the alternatives? A lot of the horses that have been running this year don't really look all that compelling, and it really does look as if maybe they're just running for minor rewards in the face of beach patrol being in there. I know that there'll be some Deauville support because, of course, everybody just defaults to betting Aiden O'Brien. Brian Shippers, and there's going to be a lot of action, I'm sure, from him into Mendelsohn. But other than Beach Patrol, Synchrony to me was the horse that you probably wanted to respect the most. It's not just Fairgrounds form that he's brought together lately. He's turned into a really nice horse and clearly took to the turf very well. Kind of amazing it took them that long to get him to the turf, but they wanted to give him a fair dirt shot. So we'll see if he can keep his game at that elevated level outside of Louisiana. So I'm going to, personally, most of my multi-race action is going to go through Beach Patrol, and I'm going to assume that off the layoff, he'll be just as good as he was at the end of last year, and if he's that good, then he'll win.
Nice, that helps. And,
can we get Divisadero into this race, like, late? I mean, can he join in because he's rescued my Derby day the last 2 years?
Right, that's right. There's no Divisadero for you guys to
he rescued
to coo
Jonathan's
over.
2015, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jonathan, what's your approach in the Forster?
Not only is Nick red hot with the jokes, he stole my joke. I was going to say I was going to take the 11 horse to Divisadero.
Yeah.
He beat me to the punch. There's three horses in here that I think are interesting. Mike Maloney was on our show, the podcast, yesterday. He made a good point about Churchill as a guy who's grown up here in Kentucky, that when there happens to be weather, that turf course does something. It either is either inside or it's outside, but when it rains or if it gets any rain, it does something. So keep an eye on that. If it happens to be inside, then Deauville is obviously one you want to consider. If it happens to be inside, you also want to maybe look at Beach Patrol a little bit more cross-eyed. So keep an eye on that. I think that, look, I'm going to give Camelot Kitten like a little bit of a chance based on the race that he ran on this surface as a three-year-old. Second time with Maker, ran really well on the poly. Could be coming into form. He could be aggressive on the front end. I obviously have a love affair with Yoshida, but I don't think this is the time you want him, and I don't think he'll be 15-1. So this is a really tricky race. It's very spready. The last 2 years, I was able to single horses or to really have like a really strong opinion with Divisadero. I don't think I have that luxury this year.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you mentioned Camelot Kitten, because when I went through it again this morning, I saw that too. The Keeneland horses that run well on the Keeneland and Churchill grass course run well on the Keeneland and Churchill grass course, and you can go back to the well on that front. And of course, dealing with Mike Maker is no small task either. Let's keep working backwards to the Pat Day Mile, and here's. I don't know, Nick, how much you heard me earlier I think last month when we speculated as to what kind of a field was coming together for it, I said, yeah, there'll be 14 horses and there'll be people looking all over the place, and Mask will win at 9-5.
Yeah, that could happen. He won't be 9-5, but he certainly could win. You know, he's the kind of horse, I think, that from a value standpoint, you really have to be, you have to be prudent. And what I mean by that is figure out what you really want him at if you're going to make an intra-race bet. I think anybody who was trying to tell you they had a strong opinion in this race is either ambitious or just looking for attention, because I don't see how you possibly could. I mean, there are no fewer than six or seven horses I can make a case for. I'll talk about horses that I think are win candidates and horses that I think are maybe tri-fillers. I think Mississippi is a win candidate. Mm-hmm. I thought his outstanding Florida Derby sets him up perfectly to go back to one turn. I feel like Mask, obviously, is a win candidate. So, too, is National Flag. I think that going to the mile is a really interesting move for Gravitos on the outside, or Gravitas, as Kurt Becker called him last time. I also think the cutback is a good move for Restoring Hope, who I thought ran well, chasing a pretty fast pace in the wood before tiring late. Now blinkers on, which Bob Baffert, of course, has always effectively used the blinker moves. So those were the main players for me. I feel like underneath types that could get a piece in here. How about Give Me a Minute in New York Central? I know New York Central's last race was bad, but I love these kind of cutbacks. I love a horse that was chasing a fast pace going two turns and now cuts back to a mile, especially one who's been effective in a mile in the past. And I feel the same way about Give Me a Minute. I felt like he was a one-turn type all the way back to that debut where he was kind of shot out of a cannon late. Those are 25, 30 to one shots that could run in the money and really juice up your intra-race exotics.
Jonathan.
Yeah, I think part of being, like, or at least trying to be a good handicapper is listening to good handicappers. Both Matisse brothers and Mike Maloney both love Mississippi, so they've got my attention. I didn't see it as strongly as I did. I see the angle with the speed from last race. I'm going to use Mississippi. I'm going to use Mask and hold my nose and hope that it doesn't happen, because that is a frustrating situation when you get a wide-open race like this and the shortest price wins and it happens to be Chad Brown. Not that I have a problem with Chad winning, but the frustration of trying to get creative and beat him, and he beats you even when you have some good ideas. I'm going to look at Madison's Luna a little bit, the son of Tappet. I thought that horse ran well in the Hutchison, got my attention there. I kind of wish Julian was here for this spot, but Flo can probably get the job done. I think this is a spread race like crazy, and just hope whoever gets the best trip is going to win. It probably won't even be the best horse.
I'm glad you mentioned Madison's Luna, because I think because of Phil Bauer, people are going to just gloss over him.
Wait until Ron Rigney makes his bet before the... maybe in these pools it won't matter.
Yeah, it might not matter.
Usually those horses aren't glossed over because they open up 9-5. But no, this is a good horse. Really talented horse. I thought his last race was really, really good. And the mile doesn't look like it'll pose any issue.
I agree. The way he finished and the way he won. And you talked about some of the prices. Smart Remark is a horse in that clever local mode, Vicky Oliver and Watts Humphrey, that I am certainly going to use as a C.
Yeah.
And maybe on some saver tickets. Press into the American turf. And here's a 14-horse field, and I don't know if I should do my reveal or not, but to me...
Bring us your reveal.
Somebody asked me, Steve, I want to make a $1,000 win bet on the weekend, and is there one horse that you think you could make a $1,000 win bet? And the first horse that popped in my mind was River Boyne,
yeah,
who, to me, is the Justify of the three-year-old turfers.
I think that's, I don't have a huge argument against it. I went through this race multiple times. I watched the Transylvania replay 80 times. I felt like some of those occasions I was hoping for something to happen that never did, and I knew it was never going to happen. And ultimately, what I think we had was a kind of a skirmish between five horses that were just all subjugated by Analyze It. So I don't really think you can get a whole lot out of that race other than to know that none of them were competitive with him. That doesn't mean that they can't be competitive here in his absence, but I feel like the two most interesting and probably two most talented horses in this race outside of what we may get from 3 and 4 pence are the two horses from California. And River Boyne, I think, has made it pretty clear he's better than Inscom. So I thought he would be the horse to beat. I think it's a difficult race to narrow down, but I do think if you're going to take a stand and you're really going to lean on something, you probably want to get to him. I'm confused by Untamed Domain. I thought Untamed Domain was a really nice two-year-old. he's been awful in his last two races. Not bad, awful. His Dania Beach was horrible. And I'll throw the dirt race out because he's not a dirt horse, but this was not the same horse we saw as a two-year-old. Now he's coming back off a little bit of a layoff. Granted, it looks like he's working okay. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, right? You have to use him, but he's, boy, is he tough to trust.
JK.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Steve, on River Boyne. I think that horse is really nice. I mean, talented, and I think it's definitely one you want to use. I'm going to use Captivating Moon we talked about the inside of the turf course being good at Keeneland, and that horse was circling wide, obviously chasing a freak and analyze it. I think that this horse could present a little bit of value. Chris Block is always a little bit cagey in some of these big spots with these turf horses, and I think Captivating Moon is one that could be ignored a little bit.
The Churchill Downs, and now we know that Awesome Slew will be involved, and Imperial Hint, obviously the centerpiece of this, and more or less, when it comes to Louis Carvajal being here, this is a audition for the Breeders' Cup Sprint and his return to Churchill in November. Jonathan, how about the Churchill Downs? Can people lean heavily on Imperial Hint?
Well, I don't know about leaving heavily now that we know that Awesome Slew's going to show up here, but I know you'll get a better price on Imperial Hint if you're in the Imperial Hint fan club, which I happen to be a card-carrying member of. I think that horse is going to run big. I think the 7 furlongs is going to be great for him. I love these 6-furlong horses that are kind of finishing in those races instead of slowing down. When they stretch out, they really put it to the other horses in these 7-furlong races. So I think Imperial Hint's going to be tough. I would not toss or ignore Awesome Slew. Based on the races that Awesome Slew's run. And, I mean, you look at the horses that he's run against, Army Mule, Battle of Midway, Dre Fong, Mind Your Biscuit, More Spirit, Liberty Liberal, Sharp Azteca. Those are the horses that have beat him. So I think that he's one you definitely want to respect. But I'm going to try to get cute with Imperial Hint.
Yeah, I don't have a strong opinion against that at all. In fact, I was the one feverishly texting you early last year to ask Louis Carvajal when you had him on where he was going to run the horse next, because I felt like he was the sprinter that nobody was talking about, and he did a good job kind of keeping him hidden from everybody until Breeders' Cup Day when everybody realized, hey, this horse is actually pretty good. Probably what I think will end up being my best opinion in this race is that just completely toss those 3 horses from the Commonwealth. I don't see how any of them are going to be effective in this race. It was a weak race. It was a race, I think, that was affected by what I thought were strong inside paths on that particular day. And I think that those horses are all going to have to step forward immensely in order to contend in here. I think what actually makes Imperial Hint the toughest is that if this shipper from Turf Paradise, Chief Chickatriz, shows any speed early,
right,
then he's going to be set up right outside. And I think that's the trip, really, where he's most dangerous.
You know, one thing that we've learned for years here is look at the horses that work with the Derby horses. Outplay is better than anybody is giving him any dap for at all.
Right.
And his works here have been, and in that barn have been, it's an indication from Pletcher of what he thinks of them.
Right. Right. Well, we'll see if he's quick enough maybe to stay up with these kind of speed horses early and still have something left. But he's a horse who's always hinted at having some ability.
Got about 3 minutes. Jonathan, give us a thought in the Distaff Mile and the Humana Distaff, 6th and 7th. The fillies sprint 7 furlongs for grade 1, and we know now that Ivy Bell is going there. And then the Distaff Turf Mile, which has produced some nice horses over the years, including one of those workout horses, Teppan, from several years ago.
Yeah, and the Turf Mile, I don't really have a strong opinion here. I think Dream of Wild is definitely one you need to use. I'm going to use Thundering Sky for George Weaver. Proctor's Ledge has kind of gotten poor trips, hasn't really run back to her 3-year-old form. I'm gonna hold my breath one more time for her to kind of find her form from last year. And then Madam Stripes got a really curious ride last time from Kent when she found herself on a lead in a race that looked like it was going to fall apart, and then they crawled, and then a horse came from last, and it's still a very frustrating thing for me, if you can tell. I'll give Madam Stripes another opportunity here. I'm going to spread in this race. And then going on to the Distaff, Ivy Bell, the same idea that Paul shared. Obviously, she would have been live today going 2 turns, but I'm going to play her as well in the 7-furlong race. And then I think American Gal can turn the tables on Finley's Lucky Charm.
Fair enough. Nick?
Yeah, I thought the Distaff Turf Mile is a really, really good race, and I think you could go a number of different ways. I think La Cornell is the horse to beat. I thought her Jenny Wiley was pretty solid, and I don't think being at home at Churchill is going to be a problem for her. I'm actually wondering if one of the interesting price horses in here is her stablemate, Dream Dancing, who they kind of backed off of after her last race. She had no trip whatsoever last time. She was wide. There was no pace in front of her. She's at least going to be an interesting price, and it feels like the kind of horse with Castellano who he can drop back and make one run. Jonathan mentioned Proctor's Ledge, who probably just hates Keeneland and has not run back to that, but that's the issue. Dream a While is a horse that looks okay, but why did Dream a While lose last time? I mean, I know that the mile might be a little bit better for her, but boy, she had a good trip and couldn't get the job done. So I also have to use Thundering Sky, as Jonathan mentioned, who just had a nightmare trip last time. Maybe I'm overrating how much she likes the track and how she may have been fortunate to win last time. I think Finley's Lucky Charm is going to go wire-to-wire in the Humana Distaff.
She's very scary in there, I agree, and Ivy Bell is the decent price. Guys, I appreciate it. Got Ed DeRosa and James Scully standing by. Jonathan, best of luck in the Kentucky Derby betting challenge. Make us all proud. And, you know, I got to say.
I'm playing in it, too.
You, and Nick, too. So both of you.
I'll take a second place finish behind Jonathan. That's never happened before.
Well,
we never both do well in the same contest.
The one problem with this is it's so much more fun when Jonathan's here so we can both make fun of him in person.
True. But it's okay. The phone works. He'll be here soon enough.
Jonathan, thanks.
See you guys.
See you.